Let us pray. For the gospel which has brought life and immortality to light, for the love of learning which thou hast awakened in our minds, and for the truth which makes us free, we praise thee, O God. At the beginning of this session, we thank thee for this school, for its teachers and students, for its memories and hopes. Enable us to see clearly its purpose, to use wisely its resources, to participate in its mission and ministry to human need. Give us, we pray, wisdom and courage in the search for truth, and set our hearts on fire with desire to know thee and to serve thy people with intelligence and compassion, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Welcome you to this convocation, which marks the beginning of the 22nd session of the Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. We are grateful for the faculty, the students, the staff, and the friends of this school. All of the resources of this school are open on an equal basis to qualified students of all races and all nations. Dr. Leo Green and Dr. John Eddins have returned from sabbatical leave, and we are delighted that they are here. Dean Raymond Brown has returned from special leave for study and travel in Europe. We are delighted that he is here, and after the music, he will deliver the convocation address.
Hear the word of God as found in the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And now Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread through all the surrounding district. He taught in their synagogues to everyone's great admiration. Then he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and according to his custom, went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read the scriptures, and the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. He opened the book and found the place where these words are written: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. He opened the book, then he closed the book. Life has never been the same since the day Jesus opened the book. The story which we have read in part sets forth God's purpose in Christ for all mankind and tells of Christ's rejection by some who had their own interpretation of things divine. The New Testament is marked by the story of those who never opened the book after Jesus did, without finding God's gift to man in his Son. For instance, Paul opened it and found Christ crucified at the center of it, and a call to men of faith to live out the meaning of the cross in loving service in the world in the name of the crucified. So today, the cross that was our Master's is ours, as we take it up on ourselves in faith. The man on the cross remains at the heart of the biblical word forever. Therefore, when we come to the book, we read the beginning of Jesus' ministry in Nazareth in the light of the end of it on the cross and his victory over death. Our central thought today does not dwell upon the beautiful message Jesus read from God's book that day. Rather, we think of his reading from that book to which we still turn. With chapters to read Jesus did not possess, which tell the story of God's salvation fulfilled through the crucified. We cannot begin this academic year of devout intellectual labor for God without being conscious that, like our Lord before us, we spend many days opening and closing the book. It is our divinely given mission in our study and our preaching, in everyday obedience to the meaning of the cross. We open it and close it because our Lord did so before us. And it reveals the measure of our faith and obedient discipleship when we learn what opening and closing it meant, at least in part, on that day so long ago when Jesus preached to those who knew him. He opened the book, then he closed the book. He opened it to God's purpose in him for the whole world. The one central affirmation of God's purpose was all that mattered to Jesus. So he closed the book after he had opened it. Have you ever thought about what some people find when they read the scriptures? Let us never forget that we live in the light of Easter. What do we find when we search the scriptures? I think that every preacher and interpreter of the Word of God needs to burn into the doorpost of his mind
The words of John's gospel, admittedly spoken originally to those who were not committed to him, but nevertheless so meaningful for us in our time. You pore over the scriptures, for you imagine that you will find eternal life in them. But you are not willing to come to me to have real life. The written word points to the living word. And all of us need to remember that at the beginning of a new term. Opening the book must mean opening the good news. Also, he opened the book because others had closed it. Many of the contemporaries of Jesus opened its pages, but not its heart. They found the stories of Elijah and Elisha, to which Jesus referred later in the scriptures. They found the stories of Elijah and Elisha, but not their message. They found words, but not the word. Even when they opened it, it remained a closed book. The message stayed locked in because those who heard it locked God out of their hearts. Is it not true with many of us today that the Word of God does not shine through for us when we open the book? Ernst Casemann, one of Europe's greatest New Testament scholars, has reminded us that some of us do not stand under the scriptures but on them. And when that happens, the scripture becomes the platform from which we proclaim a theology, but not the gospel. And whenever we stand on the scripture, we seal its message. One of our great temptations, I think, is to close the book not willfully, but by standing on it. Refusing to permit the living Christ who calls us to freedom to set us free to radical faith in him and to radical love for him. At the beginning of the term, let us so live with the Word of God that the living Christ will not come to open it up because we have closed it. Then too, he closed the book because he had opened. There came the time when it had to be closed, when gospel had to take hands and feet and do God's work in the world. Jesus knew what God claimed of him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he read. And then he spoke of the Spirit of God's powerful presence, good news, freedom, vision, wholeness, salvation. As long as men remain men, they will need that word. The gospel took hands and feet in Jesus, and through him did God's work in the world. And when the divine word takes our hands and feet and lives out the way of the cross in us, the word is not silent, but speaks through us to the world. I suppose if ever a congregation of redeemed sinners taxed the grace of God, it was the church at Corinth. But even to them, Paul wrote, "You are an open letter about Christ." Beginning this academic year, we may say that we too seem at times to tax the grace of God. But Paul is writing to us. We are an open letter about Christ. Our Lord Jesus has taught us that opening the book must turn us to the world to proclaim the good news of him who has called us out of our darkness into his marvelous light. So we say again, we cannot begin this academic year of devout intellectual labor for God without being conscious that, like our Lord before us, we spend many days opening and closing the book. It is our divinely given mission, in our study, in our preaching, in everyday obedience to the meaning of the cross. We open it and close it because our Lord did before us, and it reveals the measure of our faith and obedient discipleship when we learn what opening and closing it meant, at least in part, on that day so long ago when Jesus preached to those who knew him.
Eternal God, who hast called us together by thy Spirit, be with us as we go to the tasks of this day. Strengthen and confirm within us the promises which we have made in thy sight these moments. In Jesus' name, amen.